play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We like to call it, or some like to call it, a hump day edition of the Rodcast. We like to call it a Ric Flair Wednesday edition of the Rodcast. I don't want to get too loud, all right? We're out here in the parking lot. I don't want people to kick me out, but we're having a parking lot party out here. We're already starting our tailgating festivities for the weekend. Got my friends from Recover 180 out here giving out samples. Our friends from Highball Sparkling Energy Water out here in the parking lot, they're giving out samples as well. So we got a lot going on. We are at 614 East Koenig Lane. All right, that's where we are. Is there a West Koenig Lane, or is West and East Koenig Lane the same thing?
There was a West, because when I was driving I was on a West.
Okay,
yeah.
So I was confused. I got confused because I think I was going to 614 West Koenig Lane. Don't get confused. We on the east side of the Koenig Lane.
You got to loop around. Don't forget to loop around.
You can't miss us. The Horn van is parked out front. Me and my man Rodney are here kicking it in the parking lot amongst the people where we belong. Folks have already come out and shown us some love, and we always appreciate that love. Best part of the job. So if you're in the area, come on out. If you're rolling by, just honk at us. Either way, come out here. We got a lot of things for you to come out here and join us. We got a lot of ways to incentivize you, I should say. Of course, we are giving away VIP passes to our tail party at 17th and San Jacinto. We before every Texas home game, we hang out there. It's a big Bud Light party. We got lots of food, plenty of vendors, lots of TVs so you can watch all the college football action. It is a great party. It's fantastic. I love it. Always have a good time. So you can get the VIP service, which basically means free drink and free food. All right, can't beat that. So you can sign up right now to win some of our VIP passes for the Texas Tailgarden before the Kansas game coming up this weekend. Also, I've been told, and the lovely and talented Natalie has informed me that we do have Curtis, and I'm not sure even who's hooking it up, because of some of our friends out here, some of our vendors. We have Hot Fest tickets. All right. So Hotspot is an actual bar, which I have not been to. My man Rodney says he knows.
That's in Cedar Park.
It's in Cedar Park.
Right there at Whitestone. No, East New Hope. On New Hope. New Hope and 183A.
Boom. My man.
Yeah, right there.
Rodney knows all about it. Right there. See, I'm not my neck of the woods, but I don't know about it. I heard it's a happening spot for my man Rodney. Well, we know that because they're having their Hot Fest. All right. So they're Hot Music Fest, all right? It's the Hot Mess Music Fest to get the name actually correct, all right? To get all the to get it exactly right. But at the Hot Mess Music Fest, they're going to have Snoop Dogg, Cypress Hill, Ludacris, and some other acts. They'll have some others. But the ones that stood out to me that I thought you guys would be interested in, Luda's going to be there, Snoop Dogg, and Cypress Hill. It's going to be November 9th and 10th. They got 10 tickets out here, and I'm assuming the first people to arrive are going to get Hot Mess Music Fest tickets. It's in Cedar Park, the Hot Mess Music Fest, all right? And like I said, it's November 9th and 10th, but Snoop Dogg, and I honestly, I know I'm not cool anymore. Snoop Dogg has changed his name, and I didn't know that, all right? Snoop Dogg has changed his name to DJ Snoopadelic. That's his new name now. I didn't know that. That's why I'm getting old, all right?
Maybe we should go.
You know what? This is for old people.
That's true. I fit in there. I don't know about you.
Snoop Dogg, I don't think young people don't listen to Snoop Dogg anymore. They know who he is, but they don't listen to Snoop Dogg. Is Snoop Dogg still making music? Or is he just like traveling around now?
What? I know he was at the basketball thing the other day.
That's right. He went to when you're doing Kansas
basketball.
Yeah, you're doing Kansas basketball games. You're doing hype shows. Yeah, Snoop Dogg. You know, at this point, you know, he still puts on a good show, because apparently he had women hanging from the rafters and dancing, and he was shooting fake money up into the stands. It was a beautiful thing. So Snoop Dogg puts on a good show. I'm a fan of Snoop Dogg. I'm a fan of Luda. But I know these are people from my day, so it'll be old people like us there. But it's going to be a good music fest. I'm sure it'll be a good time. So you can come out here. First 10 people to get out here, they got 10 tickets, is what I've been told. If they get more, I'll let you know. But if you come out here and you just ask for Hot Mess Music Fest tickets, they're going to hook you up. All right. And I've not been to the hot spot, but if I hang out in Cedar Park, I got to make my way over there. All right, no question about it. All right, so those are among the things we have for you. Also, if you have this, and I have both, you have the 7-Eleven Rewards app. Apparently, you can also get, and it's not that cold. I brought a jacket out here, but it's not cold. It's cool, which feels good. It's officially fall, which is a good thing. But the 7-Eleven Rewards app, if you download it, and I have it, you can get all these great in-store specials and exclusive offers. But right now, they're getting ready for the cold. You get hot beverages of any size, basically, is what I've been told, for just a dollar. Just a dollar. With the 7-Eleven Rewards app. Also, you can get, they're hooking you up, you can get a Big Gulp for just 49 cents if you have the 7-Eleven Rewards app. So get the 7-Eleven Rewards app and then just ask them at the counter pretty much, hey, what's on special? Because you get all types of hookups and goodies with the 7-Eleven Rewards app. So get that. They also have the 7NOW delivery app, which if you have a 7-Eleven in your neighborhood, and we all do, you can get 7-Eleven delivered to your house, like delivered to you. Yeah, trust me. All right, so get them both. I got them both. All right, let's get to the topics on the show. We got a lot of things we'll get into. We got to talk about the Astros first and foremost. Go Astros! All right, so the Astros now, after the Garrett Cole performance, and at this point, Garrett Cole is, you could argue he's basically the best pitcher in baseball. There were some Astros fans that were saying, you know, months ago that, oh, man, he's better than Justin Verlander, and Justin Verlander was, you know, pitching at a Cy Young level. I guess he's just, the name is not as flashy, it doesn't get as much, I don't know, as many headlines. Oh, he's also not married to kind of a sex symbol. That also helps Justin Verlander. But either way, Garrett Cole last night was unbelievable. He pitched 7 shutout innings versus the Yankees. And it's interesting because most Astros fans watching the game, they understand that for his standard, he struggled. Like, you watched him battle, right? He allowed 5 walks in the game. I mean, you go back and look at the first inning walk. He had a walk in the first inning, and basically 4 pitch walk in the inning, and the bases were loaded. He still ended up somehow pitching his way out of it, and you know, he was struggling early on in that game. About 5 batters in, you could see, oh man, he's not himself, but he's still battling through, and the fact that he made it out. With, you know, still kind of, I mean, right now, if you look at it, and this is a great stat about Garrett Cole, too, that he is 19-0 in his last 25 starts. He hasn't lost a game in 146 days, which is equivalent to 169 and one-third innings. The equivalent, basically the equivalent of an entire season of baseball. he's been that good. And the Astros get the win, and now, of course, we have a weather delay. So I think that's advantage Astros. The Astros have already said that Greinke is going to pitch Game 4 tomorrow, and that you'll get Verlander in Game 5. They've already said. Well, it's been reported. Chandler Rome is where I got it from, but they've already stated that. So all the theories about what they're going to do with the relievers and the reliever game, nope, they're going all in. Greinke 4, Verlander 5, and I'm assuming that makes Garrett Cole ready for Game 7, if necessary, if need be. Puts the Astros in a great position that if the fit hits the shan, you still have, you know, the Garrett Cole, who's the hottest pitcher in baseball, to close it out for you at home. Tanaka's going to start there for the Yankees against Greinke, and you know, we don't know what the Yankees are going to do with their reliever game. I don't think that's really been reported. If it gets reported, we'll let you know. But I think that's advantage Astros either way. But Garrett Cole's performance, this season, really since, I mean, he's basically been the best pitcher in baseball, you could argue, since, I don't know, June or something like that. I mean, that's how good he's been. He's been unbelievable. And I was reading an article in Sports Illustrated, and it pointed out that he threw 71 fastballs, right? So he threw 71 fastballs. And his fastball is, you know, it's one of the best fastballs in Major League Baseball. I mean, it usually that's what he can rely on, and batters, I mean, he can just break them down with it. But the Yankees weren't falling for it. The Yankees didn't swing at a lot of his fastballs. Apparently, they only swung and missed on only three of his fastballs. It was the fewest amount of swing and misses on his fastball in his last 53 starts. So the Yankees were really, really patient. So they weren't swinging at it, so he had to go to something else. It wasn't working for him. Like, his moneymaker wasn't working. Then he switched up and started throwing a lot of more breaking balls, the knuckle curve ball, the slider. He's got a 90-mile-an-hour slider. And they said basically when he uses his curveball and his slider, if you look at the RPMs and just the speed of it and the spin rate, that basically he has three of the top 10 best pitches in baseball based on spin rate. Fastball spin rate, curveball spin rate, slider, and that he really doesn't out of those three, that none of those are weak pitches. Like, you know what I mean? They're all elite pitches. And when he decides to use them is probably even more admirable. Like, that's even more astonishing. Like, he's just a wizard when it comes to reading a batter and, being able to kind of read a player and break him down and actually – and honestly, something that they pointed out in the article, I want to make sure I get it right because I was astonished by it. And it just points out how deep – the game of baseball goes, and we don't appreciate it. And my man KD does a great job of breaking it down, and basically that Martin Maldonado, he said that basically something they do that most people don't do, the catcher and the pitcher between Maldonado and Gerrit Cole, he doesn't need a target from the catcher to throw his fastball. He said, for instance, in their article they say Maldonado, his catcher, can hold his glove on the outside corner, but because Cole and him have such great chemistry, they'll know the actual pitch is going to go like a high heater over the plate. The target acts as a decoy in this sense. That's how well they know how the other is going to pitch or play the pitch. It's unbelievable. Like I don't even know if you can break and quantify that and break that down. You know what I mean? Like, that is in what Gerrit Cole does on the mound. I know Astros fans are already talking about whether they can re-sign him or not. I don't know if that's possible because, man, the money he's going to demand is going to be off the charts. But he's the reason that the Astros, if they win a World Series, and I believe they got a really good shot and they will, it'll be because of him. He's a guaranteed win, man. And Verlander is, of course, phenomenal. It's almost like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. The greatest, you got one of the greatest, and then you got one of the other greatest, on the same team. I mean, that's how Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander are. Since May 23rd, I think he's 19-0, 1.59 ERA. He's averaging, 13 Ks per nine innings. And since May 23rd, Astros are 23-2. In the postseason, of course, he's been unbelievable. I mean, he's only allowed one run, 10 hits, five of the three walks that he allowed came in the last game. He's got 32 Ks. I mean, he's been really, really we knew he was good going into this, but I don't think even Astros fans expected him to be this good in the clutch. There's another great stat they mentioned in a Sports Illustrated article that his highest average velocity occurs in the eighth inning. Like he gets stronger somehow, as he, gets loose or whatever. Like, as he goes on, the more and more he goes, like, he actually gets even better. He's freakish, man. That is some freak stuff going on. Like, we talk about the four-seam fastball and the knuckle curveball he's got and the slider. His repertoire, his weaponry, if you will, is probably better than any pitcher in baseball right now. All right, so we'll talk more about the Astros because the Astros, I think, gain an advantage with the weather postponement. I really do. I think having Gerrit Cole, like I said, in Game 7, just ready to go, well-rested. Verlander, Game 5, that's already been stated, he's going to start. Greinke is the only question, truth be told. And that to have Greinke as a question means – You got a lot of strength in that starting rotation. I mean, he's the guy that we don't we're concerned about. We're concerned that Greinke might not be able to hold up with the Yankees with a lot on the line, of course. And I think if you're the Astros right now and the momentum, some people are concerned that the weather postponement will hurt the momentum of the team. I think they're playing really really confidently. And the hitting hadn't been great, but I think this deep in the playoffs, it's all about – everybody knows it's all about pitching. And you grind out hits and scores and runs when you can get them. And I think the Astros got enough talent overall in the lineup to do that. And the pitching staff is second to none. I mean, it's the best in Major League Baseball. The starting group right there, the top three, I should say. It's the best in Major League Baseball. And in the playoffs, that's what you're looking for. That's what you need. All right, so we'll talk some baseball on the show coming up. Of course, now they'll play the Nationals. Didn't talk about that. They broke out the brooms to win their series, and the Astros at least know if they can make it to the World Series, they'll play the Nationals. Nationals, that's a great story. I haven't talked enough about it, especially with Bryce Harper leaving the Nationals. That's a really, really cool story, and we'll get into it, of course, because we got a lot of time to talk about the Nationals because we're still digging into the Astros and the Yankees series, but I think that's a really good story for Major League Baseball. You talk about the Astros who are, they're not a dynasty, but, man, they got enough talent to, go down, be dynastic, to win two World Series in 3 years and then potentially be young enough to contend for a couple of more. And then you got the Nationals, which is a story I don't think anybody expected. Nobody saw that coming. You knew they were good, but they're the team that got hot at the right time. As always, the team, the Astros and the Yankees are those two teams that have been elite all year. And then there's a team in the postseason that gets hot at the right time. That's the Nationals. The Nationals are a good team, but I think now they're playing their best baseball at the right time. They're peaking. And that's what you want as a team. You want to be peaking at the right time. We've seen teams that are peaking beat great teams in all sports, happen all the time, whether it be the Raptors, we've just seen it, or the New York Giants against the Patriots. Man, a team that's playing, the hot team that's playing really well at the right time can be dangerous. All right, let's talk NFL. I was talking to a friend of mine about Dak Prescott today, and I'm concerned about Dak Prescott. First of all, I think Dak Prescott's value overall is dropping significantly. I think Dak should have signed his contract in the offseason because now with everything melting down around Dak, the injuries are mounting up. Today they said the Cowboys' starting offensive line was at practice. Cameron Fleming, Connor Williams, Joe Looney, Zach Martin, and Brandon Knight. I mean, you had three starters that didn't even practice. I do believe that Travis Frederick is going to play in the game, but right now the thought is that you're going to be out Tyron Smith and you'll probably be out Lyle Collins in that game versus Philadelphia. They could play. They could play. Right now, Philadelphia also leading the NFL in pressures with 104. That D-line can get after the quarterback. It's one thing they can do. They've struggled too. They're on the struggle bus right now. They're still trying to figure out who they are. But their coach did say that they were going to go down to Dallas and get a win. He did say that. So if you're Dak Prescott going into that game, that's going to be a challenge because no Amari Cooper is also the word on the street. And, you're not going to have that offensive line as a fortress of solitude. What is Dak going to do, and how are they going to perform versus the Eagles? You go down into a bye week down 3-4, and the NFC now looking like, it's going to be a lot tougher than you thought. San Francisco's a better team than people thought. Seattle's a better team than people thought. The division is not the problem. Beating Philadelphia is your only challenge in the division. If you can't do that for the Cowboys, it could be a long season the way things are looking. That was some, that Jets game was supposed to be a guaranteed win. That wasn't a guaranteed win. All right, something that is a guaranteed win, Bud Light's a guaranteed win. You can always count on my friends at Bud Light. That's why they're the number one light beer in the world. No matter what the occasion, Bud Light is just right. As a matter of fact, we'll be having a Bud Light party, breaking out the Bud Light at 17th and San Jacinto this weekend before the Texas-Kansas game. You can come out there and join us. We'll be at the Texas Tail Garden, 17th and San Jacinto, the oldest and largest tailgate party here in Austin. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be lots of live vendors, plenty of great food, plenty of TVs. So you can watch all the college football action and, of course, lots of Bud Light. More Bud Light than you could ever imagine. So that means it's a Bud Light party. So come on out, hang out, have a good time. We'll be out there. My man E. Hogan's going to be out there. And, of course, we'll start up the pregame festivities for the Texas-Kansas game. No matter what the occasion, remember, you can always turn it into a Bud Light party. Always say if you want to be the life of the party, just bring the Bud Light to the party because everything goes better with an ice-cold Bud Light. Bud Light is always my choice and should be yours too. Bud Light brewed deep in the heart. All right. Getting back to the Dak situation. This is my concern for Dak. Because I think at this point, Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore, they don't seem like they're on the same page. And let's just go off what we've seen. Right, because we're going to speculate. I don't know if Jason Garrett's taking over the offense. I know Tony Romo said publicly that the offense looks like Jason Garrett's fingerprints are all over it. Right? He said, looks like Jason Garrett, looks like the same offense that they were running in from 2007 to 2009 in the last game that he did for the Cowboys. So if Tony Romo's saying it's starting to look like a Jason Garrett offense, Scott Linehan's not there anymore, then I'm going to assume Jason Garrett is starting to have more influence on it, whether he's not calling the plays, but in terms of the game plan, the offense has changed, and we all agree with that. And even just the play-action pass, I saw Pro Football Focus put out there, the play-action pass rate for the Cowboys went from 39% in the first 3 weeks to 17% in the last 3 weeks. That's a significant shift. One had you second in the NFL at 39%, and now you're at 26th in the NFL. At play-action pass rate. Like, something changed. I don't know what significant shift there was, but there somebody said, hey, man, we're doing too much of this. We should do more of this. The pass rate on first and second down, right, early down pass rate, went from 63% in the first two games, and now the Cowboys are hovering at around 54%. You know what I mean? They were throwing it more on first down and second down, and something shifted. Tony Pollard was playing more. Remember, Tony Pollard in the first week of the season, he played 22 snaps. Week two, he played 17 snaps. Week three, I think it was 23. In the last 3 weeks, he's played 14 snaps combined. Like something, you know what I mean? Something happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And they were 3-0. I mean, obviously, the offensive line may be a big issue. Weeks 1 and 3, Dak was under pressure on 21 total snaps. Weeks 4 through 6, he's been under pressure 56 total snaps. They're 0-3 in the last 3 weeks. They're 3-0 in the first 3 weeks. You know, so they're not protecting Dak as well. Dak, based on all the metrics, Dak is still playing really well. And I know that sounds crazy. Dak is still playing at a high level. Everything around him seems to be breaking down, though. And that includes the play calling. That includes the offensive line. That includes the weapons around him. And I know now the Dak detractors, the Dak haters will go, man, yeah, Dak's got to get it done. And the truth is, this is the inconvenient, unfortunate truth for Dak. He's got to get it done. Tony Romo, and I love this quote from Bryce Butler, because he's the one that I always keep it in my phone, because to me it describes the offensive struggles for the Cowboys. It perfectly encapsulates it. Bryce Butler said when he first got to the Cowboys, I don't know what year that was, he said Tony Romo was the guy that installed all the plays. He said Tony Romo installed all the plays in every meeting, every week. It was Tony Romo's offense. Like, Tony Romo would come through the – it wasn't Jason Garrett or Scott Linehan. Man, it was Tony Romo. That was his offense. And I think Tony Romo probably got as frustrated as Dak may be getting right now. And as a, and that's the same Aaron. This is the frustration Aaron Rodgers dealt with the Green Bay Packers. When you, if you, when you've been given a certain amount of freedom and liberty as a quarterback to change plays, all right, and to, and apparently Dak's been given a lot of, you know, freedom that, you know, he can, autonomy that he can call, he can change plays at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't like something, he can change it. If you recognize that you're in the wrong play, and as a quarterback, that's part of your job to be kind of the checks and balances. Sam Ehlinger does it with the Longhorns, or at least he, until last week, he was doing it really effectively. But, you know what I mean? It's a, it's checks and balances. It's the offensive coordinator, it's the play caller, and then it's the quarterback now. Been given that kind of, and if you've been given that responsibility as a veteran quarterback, and most veteran quarterbacks, they are given a lot of liberties at the line of scrimmage to be able to audible a play and change a play based on what they see. Most offensive coordinators, that is their, that's their goal, to empower their quarterbacks like that. I think Dak may be at that point now. I'm not saying it's on Dak to do that, but, you know, I think this is part of the evolution of him to be a franchise quarterback. So the struggles, it's, you know, it's going to be part of, it's going to be on him to get them in the right play. I mean, you know that your two offensive tackles are going to be out, so you're not going to have a lot of time. They're calling a play that's going to have you, you know, with a seven-step drop, and it's going to take, it's going to be a long developing play. You as a quarterback got to know, man, that is not going to work. I am, man, I'm running for my life out here. Man, let me get on. I mean, and I know that sounds crazy. Like, oh, that doesn't happen. It does happen. Like, that's what Romo used to do. That's what great quarterbacks, that's what Aaron Rodgers at one point was fighting for the liberty to do. Like, no, this is a bad play. This is a terrible play. I don't even want to run this play. It's so bad. Who the hell's calling these plays? Get this guy out of here. And that's what happens. There is some of that when you have really, really, I would say, high IQ, intellectual quarterbacks. And you hope that Dak Prescott is that guy. If he's not, then you probably shouldn't be paying him that kind of money. That's what Russell Wilson's doing. Russell Wilson last week called an entire touchdown drive with his headset communication broken. It was broken. He was just calling the plays. They reported, like, oh, yeah, it was broken. Oh, that was a touchdown drive. Like, yeah, I had to call the plays, man. I just, you know, I know the offense so well. He called like four or five plays on a touchdown drive on his own. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. His passer rating is not only the highest highest rated quarterback in the NFL, but under pressure, he is also his passer rating is higher than any other quarterback's passer rating just without pressure at all. Like, he's that good. So ultimately, you want all your quarterbacks like that, and all the greats are like that. Think about it. Phillip Rivers, all the veterans, they can call their own plays. They're a part of the checks and balances. Dak actually at one point needs to step up and be that guy. Deshaun Watson's been giving more autonomy at the line of scrimmage. He's been giving more power. Like, nah, Deshaun, if we're in the wrong play, you need to get us in the right play. That's part of your job as a franchise quarterback. So this game's going to be a lot on Dak. It is on Dak because – if you're a franchise quarterback, you got to keep them in this game. You got to be part of the decision-making process. And I want to see more of that from that. He's playing really well, but it's still no excuse just because there are injuries around you. You have the San Francisco 49ers, the last game, had their two starting offensive tackles out and still bum-rushed the L.A. Rams. Coaching matters. All right, we'll come back. We're live from 7-Eleven, 614 East Koenig Lane. Come out here and join us. You can sign up for our VIP passes for our Texas Tail Garden VIP party we're having, which is lots of free food and free drinks. Hanging out there at 17th and San Jacinto before the Texas-Kansas game. Also, you can win some, or actually be gifted, I should say, some Hot Mess Music Fest tickets. Snoop Dogg, Ludacris, Cypress Hill, a lot of classic hip-hop acts will be out there at the Hot Mess Music Fest in Cedar Park. So we'll give out those a little bit later on. Also, my friends at Recover 180 and Highball Sparkling Energy Water out here in the parking lot having a good time, getting you ready for all of your game day festivities. This is the Ridecast right here on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on, well, via Twitter, actually. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Best way to do it. I don't have access to the Specs text line right now. My man BK doing his thing. You can hit him up at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. We hadn't hit the big story in the NFL, which is the trade, the Rams trading for Jalen Ramsey. They trade two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick. Two first-round picks, one in 2020, one in 2021, and a fourth-round pick in 2021 for Jalen Ramsey. They get the fifth-year option in 2020 for Jalen Ramsey, but then after that, Jalen Ramsey's going to want a big deal. He's going to be the highest-paid corner in football. He's already pretty much stated that, and he deserves it. I mean, he's one of the best corners in football. I don't know if he's the best. Stephon Gilmore is probably in that conversation to be the best for the Patriots. I'm trying to think of other guys in that conversation. I mean, there are a few guys that, you know, they could be in that conversation, but he's right there. This is a desperate move, I think, by the Rams. I mean, it's gonna improve their defense, obviously. I mean, if he's the best corner in the league, it'll improve their defense. They traded away Marcus Peters to the Ravens, and now they have Jalen Ramsey. And basically, if you could say he's the best corner in football, they're the best pass rusher in football in Aaron Donald and the best corner in football in Jalen Ramsey. Wade Phillips can do a lot with that, but their struggles have been on offense, and their struggles are with the offensive line and with Jared Goff specifically. Maybe they figure they have to shore up their defense because Sean McVay, in all of his football acumen, he can figure out the offense and figure out what's wrong. But Jared Goff, this has been a slow deterioration for Jared Goff. Last 12 games, he's completing 60% of his passes, 6.7 yards per attempt, 13 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He has 12 fumbles in the last 12 games. The 12 games prior to his last 12 games, he's completing 66% of his passes, 27 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, 8.9 yards per attempt, 6 fumbles. Something's going on with Jared Goff, and maybe it's the pass protection. The offensive line, Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 31st graded pass-blocking offensive line this year. Last year, they were 7th. The running game isn't what it was before. I think teams have figured out Sean McVay, but they're forcing him out of 11 personnel because they know that's what he wants to be in. That's his comfort zone. So they're forcing him out of 11 personnel. They're setting the edge on the wide zone because they know that's his favorite running play, and he builds all of his play action and the bootlegs and the waggles off of the wide zone. So that's what the Patriots did in the Super Bowl, and they're doing that. And Matt Patricia played the quarters coverage against them, kind of that matchup zone. And that's what Bill Belichick did in the Super Bowl, and now everybody's playing the matchup zone against them. All the things that have worked against them because it's a film-driven league, teams are just replicating that over and over again, forcing the Rams to beat them left-handed. And the Rams are 3-3 as a result of it. We know they got talent. Same team that ran roughshod over the NFL last year. And I know Todd Gurley is not what he was, but honestly, Todd Gurley, he wasn't really that much of a factor even late last year. I mean, the injury started to add. I remember C.J. Anderson played a big role. So something's going on with the Rams. I don't think anybody can really quantify it or identify it. I think they know they need to be all in because they don't want to be thinking about building or rebuilding. So Jalen Ramsey, best corner in the league. Wade Phillips is one of the best defensive minds in the league. Hell, even last year against the Patriots, they only scored one touchdown against them. I mean, give Wade Phillips weapons like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. He can shut teams down. I think that's what they're banking on. You know, let's get a guy that can just shut teams down. If we can bank on that, a shutdown corner and the best defensive lineman in the league with Aaron Donald, you know what? We might be able to make a run with that. But in 2020, they're just on, let's say the salary cap is $200 million in 2020, right? I think right now it's like 180, something like that. In 2020, Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Higbee, and Robert Woods are going to account for $112 million of the salary cap for the Rams out of the $200 million. And that's it. That's not including Ramsey, who's probably going to get a big deal a big extension or his $13.7 million fifth-year option. Man, that's a lot of money on just 7-8 players. So that's why the Rams are saying we got to go all in. We're already too far in. You know what I mean? There's no point now in trying to walk it back. We went all in on Todd Gurley. Mistake. We went all in on Jared Goff. Probably a mistake. He seems like he's kind of a system quarterback, and not that Sean McVay's system isn't great, but in the NFL, they figure out systems really quickly. Like what did I tell you about the air raid, right? What did I tell you about the air raid in the NFL in its most, I would say, in kind of the most unfiltered form that it's been in the NFL with Cliff Kingsbury? I said, it's going to work at first. And right now, it's working, right? Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're tossing the ball all around the NFL. He's doing really, really well. I think he won the last two games. Nobody's paying attention to him because, you know, they're the Cardinals, but that air raid offense is working for now. Give it a year or so, and then the NFL will figure it out. And if they don't adjust it, if they don't change it, they don't evolve, then they'll be SOL. That's the way the NFL works. And I think Sean McVay's struggling with that just a little. Sean McVay's great. But, man, the NFL, all they do, trust me, I got one of my best friends is one of those guys. They sit in dark rooms and they watch film hours at a time. They don't get a chance to spend time with their wives or their families. They're sitting in the dark room watching film, coming up with tendencies, and they got, you know, stat geeks in rooms, you know, coming up with ways to figure out what you do in this situation, and they're obsessed with it. And I think for Sean McVay, he's having a hard time, and so is Jared Goff figuring out, all right, how do I adjust my game to the how do I counter, right, when they've adjusted to my game? They figured out what I do best. My weaknesses, my strength, they already know that. So I need to improve my weaknesses, and I need to get more strengths. I need to actually evolve my game. I think it happens to a lot of offensive minds in the NFL. So the Rams, I like the move. I mean, how can you not like the move? All those moves, by the way, have paid off. The Khalil Mack move paid off. Chicago Bears defense, maybe the best in the league. Laremy Tunsil move for the Texans? Man, that move was great. You got to give Bill O'Brien some props for that move. That's an unbelievable move. As a Texans fan, I can tell you right now, Deshaun Watson, there have been three games in his entire career where he's gone without being sacked. And I wouldn't track the games. And he's had two consecutive games without a sack. Because Laremy Tunsil was playing like the best left tackle in football. I didn't say that. Pro Football Focus did. All right? Last 3 weeks. Deshaun Watson, week 8 versus the Miami Dolphins in 2018. He wasn't sacked. He had a 156 passer rating. He was 16 of 20, 80% completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 11.9 yards per attempt. That was in 2018 when he went without being sacked. Week 5 this year. When without being sacked, he was 28 of 33, 84.8% completion percentage, 426 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He had as many touchdowns as he had incompletions. By the way, week 8 in 2018, he had more touchdowns than incompletions, and he had a 158.3 passer rating, nearly a perfect passer rating. His shoes, his cleats are in the Hall of Fame for that game. They were so good. I'm not joking. That's true. Week 6 against the City. Last week, he wasn't sacked. Biggest win ever for Bill O'Brien in his career on the road. No question about it. They won 31-24. Had no business winning that game, by the way. They fell down early 17-6. They had a fumble early. 3 drop touchdown passes. I mean, two picks by Deshaun Watson. It was an ugly game, but he found a way to win it. And he was 30 of 42, 71.4% completion percentage, 77 quarterback rate. Not that great, but they won the game. So the 3 games, he's 3-0 when he's gone without being sacked. 78% completion percentage, averaging 315 yards, averaging over 3.5 touchdowns, averaging around a half an interception a game, 0.6 actually, 10 yards per attempt. And I didn't even get into his rushing contributions because he had 2 rushing touchdowns versus Kansas City. You just got to keep him clean, man. If you keep Deshaun Watson clean, he's leading the NFL in touchdowns right now, in total touchdowns, I think, yet with 17. Oh, he's tied with Russell Wilson with 17. I'm worried about the offensive line because Titus Howard left that game. He has a torn medial collateral ligament. So he's going to be out, but they're first in the AFC South. And I love him on third down, Deshaun Watson. He's completing 77% of his passes on third down. That is first in the NFL, by the way. And they're the best third down conversion team in the NFL. You just got to keep them clean, and he'll win the game for you. So the Laremy Tunsil deal, it worked out. It was a good deal. So honestly, I'm not going to say the deal's not going to work out. I just don't know if it's going to result in them winning a Super Bowl. But, you know, you get the best corner in the league, and right now he's in that conversation. The Amari Cooper deal was another one. Trade for Amari Cooper worked out for the Cowboys, too. At least we hope. All right, we'll come back. We're live right here from 7-Eleven at 614 East Koenig Lane. Come out here and join us. We're giving away VIP passes to the Texas Tail Garden, our pregame festivities before the Texas-Kansas game. Our good friends at Recover 180 out here in the parking lot. Also, Highball Sparkling Energy Water. You can't miss the van parked out front, the horn van parked out front. Come on out and join us, getting you ready for all of your tailgating festivities out here at 7-Eleven. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. Welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babies in the Twitterverse. You can hit my man VK up at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. We haven't talked a lot of Longhorn football, so let's start diving into some Texas football discussion here. We were on my Longhorn Blitz podcast, my man Jeff Howe and Matt Buller, we were talking about the fact that Tom Herman has admitted that he would like to simplify the defense, that he wants to simplify things on defense because he wants them to play fast. I believe he said he used fearless was one of the words he used. He wants them to play fast and fearless and unafraid. I think, you know, with this team being as injury riddled as it is, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. And now, you know, in addition to, you know, Jalen Green and Caden Stearns, who continue to be out, and Josh Thompson, who will continue to be out. Chris Brown's going to be out now. Juwan Mitchell, they're not sure about. He's got the elbow issue. Jeffrey McCulloch's got the separated shoulder, so he's going to be out. I mean, you are beat up. And even Tom Herman said he's worried, you know, about being able to tackle. He admitted that he was worried about tackling at practice, and now that he's got to make that a priority, that he didn't want to tackle too much at practice because he was worried about, you know, his players being able to hold up. So, it's really a difficult situation for Tom Herman at this point. I mean, you can be physical at practice, but being physical at practice, you can't potentially, you know, get guys injured or beat up going into the game when you're on your third, fourth players at certain positions on the depth chart. And that's the case for the safety position and even at corner right now. Anthony Cook, we don't know his status. I mean, he left the game because of he actually had one of his best games. I think he might have had his best game ever in that Texas OU game. He really was having a really good game, and he went out because of a stinger. So he may be out. We don't really know his status either. So I think, you know, with all the injuries for the Longhorns, number one, you do want to keep it simple just because a lot of these guys haven't gotten the reps. They don't really know the system. You've been, in addition to guys like DeMarvion Overshown, who just came back, and B.J. Foster, who just came back, you know, I don't know how familiar these guys are with Todd Orlando's system. And it is, I don't know if it's a complex system or not, but Tom Herman saying they want to simplify things would lead you to believe that maybe it's more complex than it needs to be, considering the situation that you have a lot of young guys who got to play for you. And they got to play right now. They got to play. They got to give you valuable reps. And they may have to for the next couple of weeks or so. I'm assuming DeMarvion Overshown is going to be your other starting safety opposite Brandon Jones now. But I could be wrong. That could be Montrell Estell. I think he's still a healthy body you have out there. But you are, I mean, I can't remember, honestly, a time a secondary got so beat up at Texas. You guys remember, send it to me, you know, via Twitter, at Rod Babers. I can't remember another time in DBU history where you had this many guys miss stretches of time for the defense. Right? B.J. Foster, Overshown, obviously Caden Stearns, Jalen Green, now Chris Brown's going to join that crew, Josh Thompson. I mean, it's you just got a ton of guys who've missed the – I mean, you're talking about starters, three or four starters in your secondary, or guys you consider to be starters. So, and people are upset about the missed tackles, and I understand a lot of missed tackles. I was being gracious when I gave him 21 missed tackles. I've heard as many as 28. I think Alex Dunlap said he counted 28 missed tackles. I would not doubt that at all. That seems like it's right there in the discussion. I think ultimately I had 25 or 26, but human error and, you know, different interpretations, a subjective thing. I went with 21, but counted the yardage. And that's the reason Texas's defense failed in that game ultimately, is because they couldn't just do the basic or execute the basic fundamental, you know, task of just being able to tackle the guy in front of in the open field. So number one, they got to improve on that. How do you improve on that when you can't really tackle at practice because you don't have the bodies available? I mean, I guess you can use your walk, make sure your walk-ons are all ready to go and start moving walk-ons over there so they can be the guys you can use as practice guys in the open field. But that's going to be a hell of a task for them, man. That's going to be a test. Because there's no way you can practice a lot of tackling in practice when you don't really have healthy bodies to do it. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk more about that because I think that's going to be the biggest test, our biggest hurdle for the defense. And we'll come back and talk about if the offense has any hurdles. I think the offense went up against a buzzsaw in Oklahoma, a defense that was much improved. But the concern with the offense is do we know the offense too well now? Is it predictable? You know what I mean? Do we know now that 40% of all Devin Duvernay's targets will be behind the line of scrimmage, 60% of them within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage? Like, is that – do we know that now Brandon Eagles is always running a nine route? You know what I mean? Like, that are the roles becoming too predictable within the offense, and is that why Oklahoma, in addition to pass protection and run blocking, is that why they were able to kind of figure out Texas? So we'll get into that, too, and talk about that. Go behind the burnt orange curtain on the other side. Also, more NFL discussion. Astros, and we'll get into their big win over the Yankees. Also, there's a postponement, weather postponement. So you'll get game four on Thursday between the Astros and the Yankees. We'll talk about that. Nationals in the World Series. They're just waiting on the Yankees and the Astros to finish up. So one part of that equation already set. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Cowboys and Texans. We're live at 7-Eleven, 614 East Koenig Lane. Come out here and join us. Highball, sparkling energy water, and my friends at Recover 180 out here having a good time. All of that and more right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260.